Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Grace Bible Church. This is kind of a first for me. I have never preached to a completely empty auditorium before. I have preached to small groups and small congregations, but never to an empty house. As you know, last weekend we did have church. We were under the 250-person limit that groups weren't supposed to go over, so we had it. As we start out this morning, let me just remind you that we have a website for our church, www.gracebiblechurchsc.org. Let me say that again, www.gracebiblechurchsc.org. On that website, we have announcements and we have prayer requests that people have brought in, and we will continue to communicate with you by text and also by email as well. Now, the number of people in a group has now been dropped down to 10 that we aren't supposed to go over, so that's why we are now doing this by audio. I have my sound man here, Matthew, and so we are going to go ahead and I'm going to give you a message, and you can look at that message probably by this afternoon or tonight, or listen to it actually. We can only do audio with the internet connection that we have. There has been some discussion as to whether our nation would be in a total quarantine or lockdown, or whether our nation might also have to undergo martial law, so we might have to keep doing what we're doing this morning for at least for a while if we have to. President Trump is saying things like, this is not necessarily going to last for a long time. He seems to be indicating maybe a few weeks, which is different than what the mainstream media, of whom some are saying this will last all through summer, till August. In one case, I heard somebody say, I don't think this is going to go to August. I, for one, certainly hope that Trump is right. We understand that being in a pandemic is a new experience for many people. I was reminded this morning that there may be some in this congregation, including myself, that remember the concerns about polio that existed in the past. And I remember as a small child taking some sugar cubes that supposedly had medicine in it. And they gave these out and you had to drive to the school to get them. As you look at how people are responding to this situation, many are responding with fear and anxiety. I, as you know, work at Professional Counseling Center as my other job, and I do have clients that did not want to come in because they were possibly catch the virus or the coronavirus. They were concerned about that. We have created a situation over at my other job where I can work this job from home if I need to and do phone counseling. Insurance companies are allowing this to happen, so we may have to actually work from home on our computers next week and talk to people over the phone. And maybe we'll have to do that for a while, we don't know. We hear of all kinds of thoughts and opinions about what is going on in regards to this virus. Some say it is not much different than ordinary flu. It's just being overhyped by certain left-wing types in the media who are trying to find a way to make sure that Donald Trump is defeated in the upcoming election. And if somehow this crisis could be pinned on him or somehow be construed to make him look bad, then he might lose. And so some have that opinion. Others are extremely frantic about this virus, practically comparing it to the Black Death or the bubonic plague, which took place in the 1300s, which apparently killed about 75 million people. That was about one-third of the population of Europe at that time. Well, I think that we ought to take this situation seriously. To me, it certainly does not rise to the level of the Black Death. There are other individuals, and we can access these on the internet, who say that while the deep state may have initiated all of this, Trump is going to turn it around, and many bad actors who are involved in nefarious activities, such as child sex trafficking, will be arrested, and that the idea of keeping people largely in their homes will keep them out of harm's way while such arrests are taking place. I've also heard that ISIS is gearing up for more arrests during this time. We will see. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. I realize that this entire experience is very troubling and upsetting. Our beloved Ron Mullins will not be able to visit home for a while. In fact, if he tries to fly home to visit Shar from his job in Louisiana on his regularly scheduled weekend off, he will have to be quarantined for 14 days when he returns to Louisiana. We have all heard of the shortage of the paper products, especially the toilet paper. All kinds of jokes are being made about the toilet paper truck getting hijacked or something like that. We don't know yet if martial law will be imposed or if our state will experience a type of lockdown or shelter-in-place situation. We certainly have heard of California and New York and Pennsylvania and Illinois, and they have put in some kind of a quarantine in their respective states. So who knows what will happen in Michigan. We do know that God is in control. We will get through this. China is already reporting that they have no new cases of coronavirus. We hope that is true. With China, you never know if they're telling us the truth or not. If it is true, it points to the fact that this thing is going to end eventually. Maybe warm weather will take care of it. We don't know yet. So we need to hang in there. Work hard at not freaking out, making a decision to trust God, help each other when we can, and reach out to other people in the name of Jesus. Certainly we need to pray, read our Bibles, and draw closer to God. This could be a real time of spiritual blessing in many ways, not only in our church, but also in the American church and the American public as well. Our text today is found in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. This is a familiar passage to us. Let me read it to you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In this passage, I would like to point out this morning six different ways in which we should and can respond to the current situation that we are facing. Looking at verse 4, where it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. So the first way that we should respond, and we must respond, is to rejoice always. As Christians, we are to be rejoicing people. As you know, the book of Philippians is a book in which rejoicing is a major theme. Paul speaks of rejoicing throughout the book. In chapter 3, verse 1, he commands them to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord is an important part of the Christian life. In fact, if you stop and think about it, rejoicing in the Lord is our only option because there's not much else to rejoice in many situations. As Christians, we must seek to rise above how we feel, our emotional responses, our circumstances, the trials and tribulations that exist in our lives, and choose to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice for who He is and what He has done for us and what He is continuing to do in our lives on a daily basis. So the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always, and we are to let that be a way of life. Rejoicing leads to stability. It leads to perseverance in the Christian walk. Rejoicing is not necessarily a feeling, rather it is a decision that we make to have confidence in God and to believe that He is sovereignly in control of all things, including the coronavirus, including the deep state, including the mainstream media, including the upcoming election, including China, including the things that we are dealing with in our own lives, and the list could go on and on. At the end of the day, it is all going to be okay. As OJ puts it, the book has already been written. We're just watching the movie. As we look at life, we sometimes can't find much to rejoice in. And there are times when we all go through situations like that. But if we read God's word, we find much about God which leads to rejoicing. If you've ever come to the place where you are trusting in Christ and Christ alone for your salvation, then the Bible says that you belong to him. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And if we die, what does the Bible say? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. We will be with Christ. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, and you know the way where I am going. So it's a good passage. So what are we supposed to do? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's the first way to respond. Second way, found in verse 5 of this passage, Philippians chapter 4, is to be gentle. Be gentle. Verse 5 says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Apparently, this word gentle is a word that is rich in meaning. According to John MacArthur, it can mean a number of things. Let me read to you the list. Sweet reasonableness, generosity, goodwill, friendliness, magnanimity, charity towards the faults of others, mercy towards the failures of others, indulgence of the failures of others, leniency, big-heartedness, moderation, forbearance, humble graciousness, patience to endure injustice, disgrace and mistreatment without retaliation, bitterness or vengeance. It is contentment. We tend to, in our culture, to focus on ourselves, first of all. Certainly the ads that we see on TV encourage us to do that. We are told that we need to love ourselves. In fact, when I was in the counseling department, they told me that I needed to learn to love myself, and if I could not learn to love myself, then I would not be able to love anybody else. No, that's not true, but that's the thing that we're told, and we hear about that a lot in our society. We need to love ourselves. The reality is that we already do love ourselves, and that's the problem with humanity. We focus on our self-esteem. We focus on feeling good about ourselves. And we focus on making sure that we are self-fulfilled in all areas of life. In reality, our lives are not our own. The Bible tells us that. The Bible also tells us that we are not good people. We're not good people. Most people think they're really pretty good, or at least they're a whole lot better than all the people around them. In reality, we're not very good. And we have, even those of us that are Christians are only sinners saved by grace. Now, we're saved sinners, and we're growing to be more and more like Christ, and there's been changes in our life in a positive direction, but we're still only sinners saved by grace. We don't really need to learn to love ourselves because we already do love ourselves. We must learn to love God. We must learn to love other people like we already do love ourselves. Matthew 22, verses 36 and also verse 39. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the commandments upon which the entire law of God is based. Our focus is to be on God and to be on other people. We need to love God and others. We don't need to learn to love ourselves because we already do. This will help us to be gentle. Another word for gentle could be content, or some people say humble graciousness, with whatever circumstances we may face. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul, starting in verse 10, going all the way to 13, says this, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your confidence for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know also how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. As we do this, as we choose to be gentle, let our gentle spirit, our contented spirit, our gracious spirit be made known to all, we will find that we are stable, much more stable mentally and emotionally than we have been in the past, and we will now be ready to face whatever circumstances God sends our way. We will also be ready to be effective witnesses for Christ. Christians are not to be jerks. Christians are not to be hard to get along with. Christians are to be gentle, gracious, loving people. So, three ways in which we can weather this present storm or any other storm that the Lord may bring our way. The first two is rejoice in the Lord. The second is to let our gentle spirits be made known to all men. And number three, we need to reach out to God. Reach out to God. Looking again at verse 5, it says that the Lord is near. The Lord is near. You know, we Christians sometimes forget that. We get caught up in the moment, or we get caught up in our circumstances, and we forget that we have a God who is as near to us as the mention of his name. Psalm chapter 34, verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So we have the book of James telling us to draw near to God. If we do that, he responds by drawing near to us. Sometimes we feel like God is not close to us, but that's because we're not close to him. Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who will call upon him in truth. If we call upon the Lord, he is near to us. We forget that because we keep looking for ways to solve our problems and fix our dilemmas on our own. And in reality, we need to come to God. Acts chapter 17, verses 24 to 27. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things he made from one man, every nation of mankind, to live on all the face of the earth, and having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. The Bible says that God is not far from each one of us. And so we Christians, who have Christ as our Savior and the Holy Spirit in our hearts, must reach out to God. The appointed times and the boundaries of our habitations have already been predetermined for us. So let's seek to reach out to God in whatever place that God has placed us, whatever situation God has placed us. Sometimes we don't really feel that the Lord is near. Sometimes we feel alone. We feel isolated. We don't have a lot of hope. And we find ourselves frustrated with circumstances. Things seem a little bit screwed up sometimes, forgive the expression. But with God, there is always hope. He is near. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God inside of us. All we have to do is reach out and cry, Abba, Father. Or as one person said, a very short four-letter prayer, help. Help, God, H-E-L-P. He knows our situation better than we do. So don't be afraid. The Lord is near. All we have to do is draw near to him. All we have to do is ask. So we are rejoicing, we're being gentle, we're reaching out to God. Those are three ways in which we respond to this. And number four, don't be anxious. Verse 6 of Philippians chapter 4 says, be anxious for nothing. Last night I listened, as I have pretty consistently, to reports about the coronavirus. Apparently numbers are really rising in Italy. And Patty and I were trying to figure out on our little calculators on our cell phones what percentage of people were dying who actually caught the virus. And it's actually, I think at least, it's fairly high. It's about 9%, if the numbers are correct. And who knows, they may have changed by this morning. So about 9% of the people in Italy who get the virus die. And the average age of the people that are dying is 78.5. And 50% of those people had multiple medical problems. And, you know, in our own country, of the people that are getting the coronavirus, it looks like about 1% are dying. Now, this all may change. I think those numbers are right. We went over them again and again. We don't really know what's going to happen in the future. But as John MacArthur pointed out, we spend a lot of time engaging and agonizing over people with multiple medical problems and who are older. And we should do that. We should do our level best to try to keep those folks healthy and to try to take care of them if they get sick. But we seem to think nothing about the death of 1 million babies approximately a year that we kill in the mother's womb through this thing we call abortion. Sometimes in America, our priorities and our anxieties do get misplaced. Having said that, we do care about people being infected by the virus, and we should care about those people. We should do our level best to not get infected ourselves and to not do things that lead to the infection of other people. We should care about those that are impacted by this virus, but let's try to put it in perspective. We kill 1 million babies every year through abortion, and somehow we don't get real concerned about that. At least many people don't. I know us as Christians, we do. But we agonize over a relatively small percentage of people that are dying who get the virus. So as we listen to the news reports, there is much to be concerned about in the world, including but not limited to the coronavirus. We have personal situations. We have personal issues that crop up. We know that we are supposed to trust God, but we recognize and we have to admit that sometimes we fall short in our trusting God. If we look at Scripture, we even see how some spiritual stalwarts, people like David and Elijah the Tishbite and Peter in the New Testament, how they fell into fear and anxiety at times in their lives and led them to making decisions that they would not normally have made. Let's take time in our present circumstances to remember who is in control. And it is not us. It is not the president. It is not the Congress. It's us. It's God. God is the one who is in control. Psalm 57, verses 1 to 3. Says, be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me. God will send forth his loving kindness and his truth. Now, if you're listening and you have your Bibles today, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25 to 34. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin, yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So we must work hard to trust in our God for all things. As we do so, our anxiety will diminish and perhaps even depart from us altogether. May we not lose heart and forget what we know from the Bible. God is sovereign. Nothing will happen to us that is not Father-filtered. I am not doubting that there may be instances where anxiety may have a biochemical component to it. Having said that, it should also be noted that much of what we experience in terms of anxiety may simply be a failure to trust the God of the Bible. Rejoice in the Lord. Let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Number 5, thankful prayer. That is to be our response to this situation. Thankful prayer. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we're to be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication. We are to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let our requests be made known to God. Not only that, we are to be thankful people in our prayers. How many times, if you look back at your life, has God intervened and helped you and helped me? When we've really got down to business and begged God for help, hasn't he always given us an answer? So our anxiety is to be replaced by prayer. How easy it is for us to forget about this. Whenever we start worrying about something, we replace that worry with prayer. And we need to pray. We are often so self-sufficient and so busy and so arrogant in our ability to handle things without God that we don't pray very much. The midweek prayer meeting is usually the least well-attended service of most churches. We must be willing to humble ourselves and pray and refuse to worry, and also to replace that worry that we have with prayer, asking God to increase our faith and our willingness to depend on him for all things. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So, prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Spirit. We have to be on the alert. We have to persevere and petition for all the saints. That's what God wants us to do. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for you. So as we pray, we must also pray with thanksgiving. This kind of prayer is the antidote for worry and the cure for anxiety, according to MacArthur. God has met our need. God has met our needs and has answered our prayers so many times in the past. And we must always be grateful to him for this and not hesitate to come to the throne of grace again and again with prayers and supplications for him to help us in our time of need. It is true that God already knows what we need. He already knows what we're going to ask before we ask it. But still, as a loving Heavenly Father, he likes it when his children come to him and bring their needs before him. He likes it when his children come to him again and again. We get worried. And we get scared sometimes because we don't really trust the God of the Bible the way we should. We somehow get into this attitude that we don't think he's really able or strong enough or that maybe he's not really smart enough, or maybe he's not really good enough in order to help us. May we remember the words of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. And may we always come to him with thankful prayers in our time of need, which, by the way, is all the time. We need him all the time. May we not be frightened by a virus or how such a crisis that we're currently facing might affect us. We are to rejoice. We are to rejoice in the Lord. We are to let our humble graciousness, our gentleness be made obvious to everyone. We must reach out in confidence and not fear God. We must reach out in confidence and not fear to our God. And we must be able to pray, and we should pray at all times with thanksgiving. Finally, number 6, may we revel in God's peace. May we revel in God's peace. As Christians, we need peace. I trust that we would all know that. We already have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And as a result of this, we can have peace with each other, with other people, and also peace within ourselves. A lot of us don't have that much internal peace, but we can have it when we come to God. If we choose to consistently trust in God and believe that as his children, he works out all things for our ultimate good and his glory in accordance with the counsel of his own will. Then we can have peace within our hearts. Then we can have peace in our minds. We can feel a sense of security in the love and the purpose for our lives from God, no matter what is going on around us. His peace, which is beyond and surpasses all human ability to comprehend, which is supernatural in nature, will guard, will protect our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. No matter what is happening in the world around us, no matter how long this virus thing lasts, or whenever the toilet paper truck ever arrives on the scene or not, that's a joke, we're going to be okay, ultimately. If we die, what's going to happen? If we're a Christian, we're going to be with Christ. We're just going to make sure we're trusting in Christ and Christ alone for our salvation. That's what the Bible tells us, right? That's what the Bible says. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's what happens when Christians die. So if this virus kills us, well, we're going to be with him. I suspect it probably won't kill as many people as what some people think, but it's still something needs to be taken seriously. Isaiah 26:3, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Our peace is based on our trust in God. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. As we close this morning, may we take time to reflect on who God is in our lives and who we are in Christ and our ultimate destination. We face a crisis in this country. All manner of discussion and opinion abound as to how this thing started, who is responsible for it, and what will happen as a result of it. Some people think that China did it, and this all came from some bioweapons lab in China. And some people think it came from somebody ate a bat that was hanging in a meat market in Wuhan, China. Same place, by the way, that the biolab is supposed to be. Other people say that Bill Gates has a patent on this and that this somehow is introduced in order to somehow topple Trump. It's interesting to note, and I'll just mention this, that I heard this recently, that when Trump said, we know where the virus came from, the next day Bill Gates resigned from, I think it's Microsoft. So I'm not sure if there's a correlation, but there's an awful lot of CEOs resigning right now. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going to happen next, but one thing we can never question is God's commitment to his people, even in the midst of a mad, bad world. Rejoice always. Be gentle. Reach out to God. Work hard at not being anxious. Engage in consistent, thankful prayer. And finally, revel in the peace of God, which passes all comprehension. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to do this over the internet. Hopefully people have an opportunity to hear it, and maybe it will be of some benefit to them. We thank you that you have provided a way in which we can accomplish some of these things. And Lord, we just ask that you do your perfect will in this situation. We would ask that this would come to an end soon, and things could get more back to normal, and we could go on with the things that we have to do in our lives. We thank you that you are in charge, and we can trust you for all things. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.